Why don't we pray together again? Just ask the Lord to teach us from his word together, okay? Can you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much again for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that you give to us that we can pray. And God, would you teach us that that just needs to be so deep in us that we just want to come to you all the time, to want to pray continually, want to bring before you our request, but just to talk with you and share with you. And God, just to have that relationship with you and to listen to you when you speak to us. So God, would you help us to do that this morning? Help us to learn. Would you come and speak this morning to our hearts? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what I want you to think about, you know, this is the time, right, of year. New Year's, everybody's thinking about goals. Everybody's thinking about, okay, what do I want to do? But I want you to think about, the other thing you might think about is, okay, what is important to me? What is really those important things? What do I want to spend my time on? So what I want you to do this morning, tell the person next to you. You're going to talk to them, all right? Oh, man, I'll make you speak to somebody that you may not know. That's okay. It's okay. We want to get to know each other. We're family here, okay? I want you to tell them three things that are important to you, right? Three things that are important to you. Ready? Go. And then maybe add why they're important, too. Why are they important? Come on. All right, like I said, you know, I could let you go, and you'd probably take up the whole rest of the service on that, I'm sure. All right, you guys like each other so much, but well, I do want to get you back here, all right? Maybe some of you said, you know, my spouse is important to me, right? I hope that was maybe on your list, all right? If not, maybe we could talk later. Okay, how about your kids? Your kids are important to you. How about your, well, you know, some of you that don't have kids, don't worry about that yet, okay? All right, how about your church? The body, the church. Your family here, right? How about your hobbies, right? Let me ask you a question in a different way, okay? Maybe there's a different way to tell how something's important to you. Maybe somebody's going to look at you and they're going to say, okay, you spend a lot of your time on this. You spend your money on this. You spend a lot of your thoughts on this. That must be really important to you, right? So you may say something's important, but then it's got to be shown as well. Right? And that you can see it. It will be shown by the way you spend your time, by what you spend your money, by where your thoughts are at. Right? So when you think about those things, we are hoping, of course, as a church, that the Bible is important to you. Last week's message that John preached was about that, right? Making the Bible an important part of who you are. As we root ourselves deep in Christ, we want that to be a big, important part of who we are. The Bible needs to be that. So hopefully some of you took that challenge to read through the Bible in a year. Right? But you can't have the Bible and just have one-way conversation. We want to be able to have prayer be the second part. And that's really what this second message is this morning on this this short series that he's doing as far as rooting ourselves in Christ on prayer. Like I say, Eric, he was going to preach on this, and he had a different passage. I'm like, you know, I got this call Thursday, so I'm trying to put this together kind of quickly, right, and get this together. So, but I want to look at this morning just the importance of prayer. Right, we've looked at, okay, teaching on prayer. We heard the scripture read to us, and the disciples, they came to Jesus with an important saying, right? They came to look at it and say, okay, what about this? What about this prayer? Okay, and as you look at the importance of prayer, let me read verse 1 for you again. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. If you notice, Jesus was taking the time to pray. That in itself should tell us how important prayer is. If the Son of God who came down to earth needs to take time to pray, that should tell us right there that we need to pray as well, right? And you know those other times that he went to go pray, right? It would say early in the morning he would get up to go pray. I don't know, how many of you are morning people? Some of you are, some of you not so much. You're like, no, not early in the morning, right? Because if I start praying, I'll just fall back asleep. I get that, right? And some people are, just find the best time of day for you to pray, but make it a priority. Jesus made it a priority. Especially before he was going to make big decisions, Jesus would go and spend time in prayer, right? And it was a sacrifice for him, right? He would get up early. He would do those different things. So make sure that if you need to pray, think about who else. John the Baptist, it says, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Again, John the Baptist was somebody that was probably somebody pretty important too, right? He's the forerunner to Jesus. He's the one that's pointing the people to the Messiah. And he took the time to pray. And we want to know that that's important. So if these guys knew that it was important to pray. Now, and it's not just we coming to pray, right? But it's people are making a connection with God. If you think about all the different people who prayed, the first people that came to my mind were Adam and Eve. I'm like, wait, did Adam and Eve pray? Well, yeah, the Bible says that God would come and walk and talk with them in the cool of the day. Now, wait, that sounds a little bit different than what we think of prayer, doesn't it? He was just coming to spend time with them. He was just coming to have relationship, friendship with them, wasn't he? That's what God wants when we pray. It's about the relationship with him, not about a certain form or certain thing that we say or whatever. It's just talk to me, right? I mean, you can imagine Adam and Eve just talking to God and then him and then listening to him. What an amazing thing. But I think about some of the other people that prayed in the Bible. Abraham, you know, God came and spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to David, Daniel, Isaiah, Elijah. You could keep on going, right? Because that's what our Bible is filled with, is people connecting with God and him. They're talking to him. He's talking to them. That's what prayer is. In James, it talks about Elijah. Elijah, man, that one is just amazing to me, right? It says in James that Elijah was a man just like you who prayed for 3 years that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. I don't know about you. When it says just like you, I kind of go, really? Elijah was just like me? Man, are you sure? So that guy, he did some pretty impressive things. Right? As far as calling down on the fire on top of the altar, man, but the Bible says it. I got to believe it. He was just like me. Why? Because he just trusted God. He was praying the way that God wanted him to. He was in tune with God. God had said to the people of Israel, if you follow after other idols, if you follow after other gods, then guess what? I'm not going to send rain. So Elijah was just in tune with God and saying, okay, God, this is what you've said. Do it. And for 3.5 years. And then when he went and prayed and prayed and prayed, he was up on a cliff on a praying and praying and praying over, and he sent his servant to go, look, see if there's a cloud. And his servant kept on coming back to him and said, no, go look again. I think it was 7 times he kept sending him back, till finally he said, oh, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. Then he knew that he got his answer. But he was in continual prayer with God. Okay? You think about those different people. Ephesians 6:18, you know, as part of the armor of God, we have prayer. And it talks about praying for all the saints. Pray for each other. That's part of prayer as well. Lifting each other up in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. That's kind of hard to do if you're always going on your knees and bowing your heads. Like, yeah, that's hard to do, right? But it's just this constant conversation with God that he wants you to have. It's a constant talking, a constant listening. It's a friendship with God that he wants. He wants you to stay connected to him, right? So it's important for us to pray. The Bible mentions pray or prayer 427 times. That sounds pretty important. That's probably one of those important topics we should probably make sure that we're doing. Okay? We want to stay connected to God through prayer. David Guzik, he's a pastor, he's a preacher, he's got stuff online, and he says, most directly, their request was not to learn how to pray, but to pray. Our greatest difficulty is not with mastering a specific technique or approach in prayer, though that may be good and helpful. Our greatest need is simply to pray, and to pray more and more. I think the thing is, we know how to pray. We just don't do it enough. So God's saying, hey, this is important. We need to pray. We need to make sure that we're praying all the time. Continue to spend time in prayer with the Lord. Okay, so there's the importance of prayer. It is important. I think we're seeing that as Jesus' disciples pointed out to him, as Jesus was praying, he's given the example. Secondly, we want to look at the model of prayer, the relationship. It's about relationship with him. Okay, he gives them a model. Now, this is not the only time in Matthew. He also has this prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? And it's just a model for us, a kind of a pattern for us to look at how we can pray, right? It wasn't something he needed to pray himself, was it? Okay, but it was something that he was giving his disciples to kind of say, here's how you can pray. But notice how he starts out. 12:2, it says, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. He said, when you pray, start with Father. This would be new to them. They'd be like, wait, Father, what? Can we call him Father? Can we call God our Father? They would know the name of God. They would barely even say his name, right? They thought it was so honored, so hallowed. It was just like, whoa, we can't say his name. And yet here Jesus is saying, no, call him your Father. Again, a relationship, an intimate relationship. Now, I do want to say, maybe some of you, when you hear the name Father, you've got a bad idea in your head. Because maybe your earthly father was not so great. Maybe you didn't have a connection with your earthly father. I don't know. Okay? What I want you to know is that God is a perfect heavenly Father who desires to spend time with you, who wants what's best for you, who wants to give you good gifts. He wants things for you. He is for you, and he's on your side. So even if you do not have the best father on earth, he will be the best father for you. And he desires that relationship with you. So make sure you understand that. That when he's saying, call him Father, he's the best. He's going to be the best at it. Okay? And he's telling his disciples this. And it's, again, about that relationship with people. When he makes a covenant with people, right? It's like, whoa. Because he said, I will be their God. They will be my people. He's claiming them. It's not like God just created the world and said, okay, you guys are on your own. Do the best you can. He's like, no, I'm right there with you. Let me help you through this. Let me help you to do this. So he's making in covenants with the people because, again, it's about wanting to spend time with him. In the Garden of Eden, when he first set it up, it was perfect, right? Because he was coming to talk with them and wanting to talk with them, wanting to spend time with them, being in their midst. That's coming again, right? He didn't get rid of that model. I appreciated that when Josh was teaching his class on the image of God. And that's what he says. It's like, he didn't get rid of that model and say, okay, we got to start over. It's like, no, that's going to come back. It's here. Okay. It's just, it's going to be a perfect place again when he comes back. And we are going to have perfect bodies. But it's, again, about relationship because God will be in the midst of us. He'll be there with us. We just get to talk with him and be with him. And then it says that we even get to call him, do you notice that it says daddy? Okay. I mean, to call him father, that's very staunch, right? That seems very like proper. Okay. Father, right? How many of your kids call you father? That seems weird to me, right? Right. Usually it's dad or daddy, right? If they call you father, they're probably being a joke or maybe being sarcastic, maybe. Father, can I have this? Okay. It's like, it's a little weird, right? Right. Does anybody call, maybe I'm wrong. Do anybody call you father or do they call you dad? Of course. Right? But yeah, it's that. It's dad, right? That's my dad. Why? Because it's about the relationship. And that's what he's saying, that we can say Abba. That's the term the little child would use to call their daddy, right? And in your mind, you're picturing maybe, you know, going up on the lap of God, because that's what a little child would do with their dad, right? Just climb up on their lap, hug them, wrap their arms around his leg. It's the intimate relationship that God desires. It's about relationship with him. That's what he wants when we pray. That's what he wants when we pray. He wants that to be there for us. If you look at the context right before chapter 11, now you do know that in the Bible when it was written, it didn't have the chapters and verses, right? So right before this, it would have, in they're at the house of Mary and Martha. And remember, Martha's upset because she's doing all the work serving Jesus by having this meal. And Mary, she's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And what does Martha do? She goes to Jesus and says, hey, tell my sister, come help me. You know, I'm doing all the work here. And what does Jesus say? She has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Because, again, it's about relationship. That was the important part. Your prayer life should be about relationship. It's not a have to. It's not a duty. It's about relationship with him, that you want to talk to him, that you want to talk to your father. You want to talk to him. Ultimately, Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him. That's why he came, right? He knew that sin, because of back in, with Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned. Sin separates us from God. And he promised, I'm going to send a Savior. Someone's going to come. And he sent Jesus. And so Jesus came so that he could die on the cross for us. We just celebrated communion this morning. He came to die for our sins so that we could then, he died, was buried, rose again, so that we could have a relationship with him again, right? It says that he's brought us back by his blood, by his death, because he knew we were separated, but now we can have that friendship with him again. The gospel is all about that. It's about relationship, right? What he did for us, right? So we don't have to earn our way. It's nothing like that. It's like, no, I want to be with you forever up in heaven. So Jesus, that's the whole purpose of why he came. And that's what God wants. I mean, think about that person that you go to when a problem comes up, or you just, something exciting comes up. Who do you want to go and tell? Who's that friend? Who's, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, whoever it is, right? Who is that person that you go and talk to? God wants to be that person. God wants to be that person that you go and are excited about and tell him about, because he wants you to think of him in that way, that you're going and telling him everything. So think about God in that way, that he wants to be that friend. He wants to be that person for you. Okay? I've just gotten in the habit again of taking my sons out for lunch. I'm trying to do it like once a month so we can just go and talk. You know, I've got two sons. I've got Sam, then I've got Tim, and we try and go out for a meal. I mean, you know, they get a free meal out of it, so I'm sure they're probably happy about that part, right? But then we also get the chance to just spend that time together and talk about things. You know, and I want to just pray for them, find out what they need prayer for. You know, as I'm talking with them, I just can find things out about how things are going, where they're at, and just because it's about relationship. You know, they're no longer in the house, so now I got to find another way to, I need to meet with you. I want to meet with you and just talk, you know, because I desire that as a dad. And that's what our Heavenly Father desires for us too. He just wants to meet with us. He just wants you to come to him. Come on. I just want to spend time with you. And then Jesus, he gives them that model of what a prayer can look like. Right, and again, you've heard the Lord's Prayer, and again, it's in two different places. This one's a little bit shorter in Luke. He's got it here, but again, it's not the exact same. So it's not like, hey, this is exactly the words you need to say, because that's what they were kind of used to, right? Saying these repeat after me, these repetitious prayers that they would come up with and do over and over and over again. No, he's saying, okay, here's the model. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to pray. Okay, and so he starts out, right, as we read it, it says, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then in your footnote, if you have a footnote down there, it would say, and deliver us from the evil one as well. Okay? And so as you're looking at the different things of the Lord's Prayer, you notice where it starts. It starts with God. It starts with him and what he wants. Sometimes when we come into prayer, and sometimes I'm guilty of this as well, I'm thinking about me and what I need, what I want, and so I start just right that. God, man, I need this right now. God, I want this. Oh, wait. He's saying, no, when you start with your focus on God first. God, hallowed be your name. Okay, first he says, God in heaven, right? He says, Father, so he's our Father. Right, so that's the intimate relationship, but also Father in heaven. Right, so we think about in heaven. That's where he has his glory. That's where he has his power. And it's like, oh wait, okay. When I'm talking to Dad, this guy's got some power, right? He's got some might. He's got something there. I'm not just talking to this whim guy who can't do anything for me, right? But it's like, whoa, this is. It's like the child. So our president of CEF, he would say, right, one of the people that could come to him anytime was his son. Right, his son could walk right on past the secretary that he had, walk through the door. Didn't matter who was in there with him. His son always had access to him. Even though he was the CEO, even though he was the president, it's like, whoa, that's what children have with their dads, right? They have access. And that's what we have with God. Even though he's, you know, God the Father created the world just by his word. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's just all these things. And we want to keep that in mind, because we don't want to come to him flippantly, but he also wants relationship with us to come to him. And when we come to him, believe that he has that. So when we come, it's like, wow, God, you are amazing. God, this is incredible. You know, and then it says, hallowed be your name. That means that he's set apart. There is no one like him. He's completely unique. Completely unique when we come to him. There's no other God that can do what he can do. There's no one like our God. Right? So he wants us to come to him and know hallowed. Wow, God, you are holy. You are in awe. Praise him for that. Right? I appreciate the songs this morning just praising him for who he is. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for who you are. You are holy. You are powerful. You are good. You are loving. And it's all about the character of God, praising him for who he is, adoring him for who he is. After that, starts with God, then it looks at his purposes, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's what we know as well, right? That part of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. Up in heaven, how are things up there? They're perfect, right? Everything's perfect up there. So he's saying, yeah, we want that down here. We want a little more of that down here, right? We know it won't be perfectly perfect, but we know that we want more of heaven down here on earth, not more of what we already have. What we have isn't so good, right? So we want more of heaven. So we want to pray and say, God, help me to have that mindset as well. Help me to be thinking of heaven. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Right? So you want to set your mind on things of heaven so that you can bring them down to here. Because heaven's a much better place. Right? It's a perfect place. So God wants us to think of his things, his agenda. I don't know about you. Maybe you get distracted a little bit by the things that are here on earth. You are an awfully busy people, aren't we? Right? This was the holiday season. How many of you got rest during the holiday season? Maybe a few of you. Maybe it's because you were sick and you had to get rest, right? Because it's like you've been going so much. I don't see a very many hands that went up there. Oh, man, we need to have a sermon on rest. This is not good. Right? But that's what he wants, right? It's like, man, we're so busy. So we get so distracted. We get so caught up in the things of this earth. And God says, don't lose the things of heaven. Don't lose my agenda, what I want. What does God want for us? He wants us to come to him. He wants us to bring others to him. That's the mission he gave us, right? At the end, before he went back up to heaven, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them all I've commanded you. He wants us to be bringing other people to him, to point others to him. The best way to start that is begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for those people that you know don't know Jesus, right? When Pastor Mike was here, we had the 7 for Heaven cards, right? Do some of you still have those, right? If you don't have those or if you don't know what that is, basically he had a card that we can write 7 names of people who don't know Jesus, and we would pray for them every day and pray for them all the time. We don't have those cards anymore. That's fine. Write down people's names. Put them on your prayer list. Begin to pray for those people that don't know Jesus. That's part of bringing his agenda into our hearts, right? So that we know that we're thinking of him and what he wants and not being focused on the things of this earth. Things of this earth are going to pass away, but his word and the eternal things won't. And what we need to help is help others to know Jesus, right? So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a top priority. Next, he talks about our daily needs. He knows that we have these needs, right? Our daily bread. Right? For them, bread was a staple, right? That was one of their things, right? In Asia, we've got what? Rice, right? You've got all these different staples that you might have, right? Whatever it is. But notice he says daily bread. That's a need. It's not a want. Okay? We've got to be careful thinking that, oh, man, I can just pray for whatever I want and God's going to give it to me, right? Because he's a giving God. He's a generous God. Well, he says, yeah, pray for your needs. I'll take care of your needs. I want to help you take care of your needs. And he knows better than you what your needs are. So that's why we've got to get our hearts in line with him first, so that when we pray, we're praying the way that he wants us to for our needs. Okay? Make sure that you're praying for your needs, not your greeds, not the things that you really want to have, right? And then it talks about confession of sin. Confession of sin, right? What's it say exactly? It says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And the order that goes in is the right order. We have to remember that God has forgiven us for so much. And so that's the reason why we're supposed to forgive others as well, is because he's forgiven us for so much. Right? And that can get so hard when somebody's done something against us. We don't want to forgive them. That's not our first intention, right? Usually our first thing is we want to get back at them. It's a good thing Jesus didn't think that way, because we would all not be here, right? We'd be dust. We'd be toast, right? Because we deserve his wrath. But he says, no, forgive others as I've forgiven you. So forgive others. Make sure you're taking the time to forgive others. And it's part of the prayer. God, forgive me. Think about those things. Each day you're coming to God confessing to him, confessing those sins. Because unfortunately, we still have that battle that rages inside, don't we? The flesh and the spirit, they're raging against each other. And we still give in to sin. So he's like, confess. Tell him what you've done. By the way, he already knows you've done it, right? It's not like you can hide it. It's already there. He just wants you to, again, in communication with him, make it right with him. So if you have unconfessed sin, and Isaiah says, you know, like it creates a barrier, creates a wall, so your prayers are not answered, right? They're not getting answered. So if your prayers aren't getting answered, maybe you got to kind of look inside and say, okay, God, is there anything I've not confessed? Is there anything I need to give up to you? Because, man, I want to make sure I do that, right? So make sure that you confess your sin, and then be willing to forgive others as well. God, help me to be willing to forgive others. Now, forgiveness means forgiving, right? But it doesn't mean you can't set up boundaries if there's toxic stuff still going on. There's still things happening. You've forgiven, but you got to still be healthy. I mean, God understands that, doesn't he? And continue to pray for that person. But just know that he does want us to forgive as he forgave us. We didn't deserve his forgiveness, but he gave it to us anyway. Okay, and then pray for protection against temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Make sure that you're praying and saying, God, help me not to continue to give in to those things, right? Forgive me for my sin, but help me to stop doing those things. Help me to become more like you. Help me to be conformed to your image. Help me to become more and more doing the right thing and not giving in to the wrong thing over and over. Help me to live by your spirit and walk by your spirit. Help me not to go into temptation. So don't pray that and then go into those areas. And then you go, oh, well, I prayed that, but then I'm walking over here in this area where I know sins, sinful things are kind of going on. Right? Your head, your mouth need to match your heart. Again, saying, okay, God, this is what I truly desire. This is what I want. So lead me not into temptation. So make sure that your feet aren't taking you to those places that are going to tempt you. Make sure you're setting up those boundaries and having accountability. Otherwise, what's going to stop those things from happening, right? Because your head and your heart aren't matching. Get those things to match, because then it will help you be delivered against the evil one. A man can say, your will be done, in different ways or moods. He may say it with resentment. Your will be done. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. So you win, fine. I don't like it, but I'll just fine. Or to have the heart of love and trust. Your will be done. That's what Jesus showed us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? When he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup be taken from me, but not my will, yours be done. Jesus gave us the example there again to show us, hey, I'm giving in to what my Father wants. This is going to be hard. I'm not going to like this, but God, your will be done. We go through the same things, right? When you have those hard things that come up, your will be done, God, whatever it is. This is what I pray. Man, I'd love for you to take this sickness away from me and do it quickly. But God, whatever it is, your will be done. Help me to be accepting and trusting you that you know what's best. Oh, God, I lost my job. Man, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of the daily needs you say that I get to have? But God, you must have a purpose for this. You must have a reason for this. I'm going to trust you that you know what's best. Your will be done. Right? We've got friends who are, their parents are close to death. And we're continuing to pray for them, right? That they would be healed, that they would be fine. But usually at the end we say, but your will be done, God. You know what's best. You know the timing that you have for them. We got to trust that God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He's sovereign. He understands and he can help us and he knows us best. So it brings our hearts into alignment with his so that we can trust him, that he knows what's best for us. All right, this is the model that helps us stay focused on God and his will for us and aligns our hearts with him. This is his model that he gave us. And, you know, I'd like to show you, maybe you've seen this other model as well, this Acts model. Okay, it's another one that it's very similar to that one, just maybe easier to remember the different things, because it's a lot of the same things. Your adoration, that's you're just thanking God for who he is. It's focused on God again, right? You're giving that confession of sin, right? You're telling God the wrong things. You're telling him about him and asking him for help not to do it anymore. You're thanking him for what he's giving you, thanking him, having a heart that is grateful. And then your supplication, that is just praying for others, praying for yourself, praying for those who have needs, praying for your missionaries, praying for your pastors, praying for your leaders, just praying for others. So it's another model that you could choose to use. And what works best for you for prayer? I don't know about you, but I have a hard time praying silently because my mind begins to wander. Am I the only one? Yeah, that happens to you as well? Okay, right? So I have to do one of two things. I either have to pray out loud, okay? And usually I found that the best place for me to pray, I turn off my radio in my car, turn off the music, and pray out loud, right? Because that helps me to stay focused, helps me to keep on going. I don't close my eyes, as I tell the kids, right? As I'm driving, I keep my eyes open, right? Right? But I tell them they can pray when they're on their bikes, right? They can pray, find that thing that works for you. Some people write down their prayers, and that keeps them focused on what they can do. Find what works for you the best way to pray. Is it praying it out loud? Is it writing it down? People love to journal and write down their prayers, and then they can write down their answers and stuff. That's great. I haven't gotten that point yet. I have a hard time journaling. I will tell you that. Oh, I'm still working on that one. But, at least if I can pray out loud. And set goals for yourself, okay? But don't go crazy. If you want to start and say, I'm going to pray for an hour a day. It's like exercise, right? You got to start small and kind of build up from there. Okay, start with 5 minutes a day for prayer. Start with something small that you can achieve, and then you can build on from there. You'll start to see that, I like this. Oh, this is fun. Oh, is it 5 minutes already? Oh, man, I got more to pray about. And it'll continue to increase. Maybe it'll continue to increase naturally because you're thinking of other things that you want to pray for. How many of you have a prayer list, too, right? Yeah, I need that to help me to remember, because otherwise I'll forget things to pray about. So that's the other thing you can do. Maybe you have a Monday prayer list, a Tuesday prayer list, a Wednesday prayer list. You have these different things that you do so that you can help you to pray and stay focused on prayer. Whatever it is, choose what works for you so that you will pray. Because as you root yourself in Jesus, as you are thinking more about how you can be rooted in him, he wants you to continue to talk to him and pray to him and talk to him more and more. Because the more you do it, the closer you get to him. You have that connection with him. So make sure you're figuring out what works for you in prayer. Okay? But as we continue to go on in our scripture, he doesn't stop there with just the model. But he goes on to tell them a parable. He says in verse 5, then he said, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey. He has come to me, and I have nothing to serve set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's, my NIV says boldness. The other one, when it was read, it was like shame. He will get up and give him as much as he needs. It seems like a strange kind of parable, right? It's like, what's going on here? What? All right, this guy's coming at midnight. I don't know how many of you would be bold enough to do that, right? Go to your friend at midnight. There's times when there maybe is an emergency. This doesn't sound like an emergency, does it? It seems weird. But in their culture, completely emergency. Because if you didn't have bread to give to the visitor, you didn't have food to give the visitor that was coming to visit you, that was shameful. That was like, this is horrible. How could you not have food to give to them? This is why he's being bold. Because he knows that is worse than not giving him anything. So that's why he's willing to go to his friend and to say, hey, come on, open up. Hey, you got to give me some bread. You got to give me something. This visitor's come. And the guy's like, hey, come on, man, leave me alone. My children are in bed with me. Now, what that means, okay, usually they would have a room of the house, maybe a part of the house that was set aside for all of them to kind of sleep in the same room. Even if they're animals, if they had animals, some of them would come inside and sleep too. Okay, they'd all be together in the same room. He's like, hey, man, we've gone down for bed. It's midnight. What are you doing? You're like, come on. And if he got up, it would create kind of the disturbance, right? Because it wouldn't be just the people, but the animals would then see him getting up. And they would be disturbed. And that would create kind of a ruckus, right? So it would be kind of a lot for him to get up just to give him some bread, right? But notice what it says. Notice what it says. It says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him because he is his friend. It's not because of the friendship, but because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. It's not because of, come on, man, really? I got to give up. He knows, too, that this would be shameful for him not to have food to give to his visitor. He knows, too, that he needs to give him something. So it's not because of his friendship, but it's because he's being so bold to continue. And he's being persistent. He's continuing to go on and ask and ask. I'm sure he's not going to let him sleep until he gives him something. Right? Now, do not think of God as the friend. That is not the point of the parable. Okay? He's not like that at all. Right? He wants to give you. He's generous. He's not like, oh, you're bothering me with your prayers, man. What are you doing? It's midnight. He doesn't sleep. Right? Number one, he can't be bothered. He can hear us all at the same time. So he is the opposite. He's kind of going from the worst case to, hey, God is so much better than this, to the best case. Because he wants you to come. Because the next verse says, in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. The actual verb tense is keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. It's not a one-time thing. It's keep on doing this. Keep going. Keep doing this. I better get to the right slide. All right. So God wants to answer you. He wants you to continue to come to him over and over and over and over again. He wants to be persistent in the prayer because he wants to answer. Then wait a minute. Let's see what that say. Okay. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks the door be open. Oh, well, then that means that I can pray for whatever I want then, right? That's what it just said. For who asks receives. There we go. He's opened up the door. He's like the Santa Claus. I can just say, all right, I want this. God, I need $1 million now. That'd be great. Is that what he's saying there? You're all laughing or shaking your heads like, no, no, that's not what he means. That'd be nice, but no, right? Remember what we said earlier. You got to align your heart with God's heart. You got to be in connection with him first, right? And honestly, there's more than one way to answer a prayer, isn't there? Okay, when God answers, he can answer one of three ways. You should know, this is basic, right? Do you know the three ways he can answer? All right, let me hear you. You're seeming a little quiet out there. Some of you are with me. I can see you. Some of you, maybe you're sleeping. I need you to wake up, all right? All right, so what do we got? All right, so what's the three ways he answers? Yes? No? Wait. Not maybe, wait. Okay, all right, you're there. Good job. All right, yes, no, or wait, all right? He'll say yes. This is in tune with what I've got. That's what Elijah did, right? He said, God, you said that if they follow after other gods, you won't send rain. I'm going to pray that you won't send rain. And it happened for 3.5 years. He was praying in tune with God, right? Well, you're like, yeah. No, remember, Elijah was a man just like you and me. Ah, don't forget that part. He was just like us. Ah, I have a hard time believing that, but okay. All right, so yeah, he's just like that. We can pray. And when we pray in tune with God, he may say yes. But he may say no. Is it okay if he says no? As a parent, have you ever said no to your kids and for a good reason, right? Not just the times when you were annoyed or whatever and you said no, but those times when you said no for good reason. Your child's 12 years old. Hey, you want to drive the car? Probably not a good idea. You'd be saying, no, you can't drive the car right now, right? And you got to wait. Oh, there's that wait word. That's the one we don't like, right? I don't know about you. That's the hardest one, right, is to wait. But he says, keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on doing it. Be persistent in your prayer. I'm going to use you, Ling. Is that okay? Can I use you? Okay. Right. She prayed for her mom to receive Christ for a long time. How many years? More than 20 years. She just prayed that her mom receive Christ. And then she finally heard from her friends that they were over there helping her to hear the gospel and to receive Christ. Right? And that's what we do, right? Those who don't know Jesus, we pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. And sometimes we have to wait a long time. Other things you pray about. I had another director that used to work in Child Evangelism Fellowship. She was, I think she was like 77, 78 years old. She was from Scotland. She had this wonderful Scottish accent. It was amazing, right? But she was an incredible prayer warrior. Oh my goodness. She would pray. She told me one time she was praying for our state director, and she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed throughout the night until she knew that she got the answer. And she said, yeah, okay, God, thank you. I'm like, okay, wait, that's my goal right there. I want to pray like that, to know that you pray and pray and pray until you know what God has said, to say, yeah, this is what I'm going to answer there. That's how her connection with God was so strong. Her relationship with God was so strong. That's how she prayed. And it's like, wow, that's what I continue to work towards, because we got to be persistent in prayer. God wants to answer your prayer. And when he says no, that means he does have a better answer for you. He's got, remember, the best answer. Remember, he's for you. He's on your side. He wants what's best for you. I was just doing some training up above Bellingham this week, and I was asking some of the teenagers about, you know, what they pray about and things. And one of the girls, she was talking to me about a mentor that she has, and what she said just made me laugh, right? She says, you know, I was talking to this lady about prayer and things. She's just such an amazing prayer warrior. And I realized I don't have all the answers. I'm like, oh, that makes me laugh. Wow. All right? Because how many times do we think that we know all the answers? We know what's better than God. The God who is all-knowing. The God who, you know, knows what's okay. We got to make sure that we align our hearts with him and bring it back to him. Because he wants us to come to him. And not just the big things. We pray about the small things, too. No matter what it is. That's what I appreciate about my wife so much, is she just prays about everything. It's just a constant conversation with God. She's always praying. It's an amazing thing. That's what God wants from us. Okay, and then the last thing that we want to look at real quickly here, God gives good gifts, right? As he says, you know, ask, you receive. And then verse 11, which of your fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Don't those sound a little weird, right? Like, what? What father would do that, right? And that's kind of his point, right? He's using hyperbole. He's using like, oh, man, look at this, all right? If you, though, then you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him, right? God desires to give us good gifts, starting with he gave us the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, he's with you through the Holy Spirit. Right, so he's always with you. He promises his presence to be with you all the time. Wow, that's an incredible gift. Don't take it for granted. We sometimes do that because we hear it so much. And we go, oh, yeah, okay, God's with me. No, God is with you. It's amazing. It's incredible. He gives you his Holy Spirit. And then James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from him, comes from God. Even just the breath that you have, the life that you have, the house that you have, the family you have, all the good things you have are from him. Because he is a good God. He is a good father. The greatest gift he gave us was himself, right? He sent Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers you this gift and says, you can have salvation. You can have your sins forgiven and have this friendship with me. I'll be with you all the time. When he was on the cross, do you know what happened in the temple? The curtain ripped. And that was significant because it was saying, you know what? You don't need a priest to come to me. You can now come to me. You have access to me. But the wonderful thing is it says that Jesus is our high priest now and that he is always before the Father praying for us. How amazing is that, that Jesus prays for you? Okay, he didn't stop by dying for you. He still prays for you. He loves you that much. He is praying for you. And he says you have access too. You can pray anytime you want. You don't have to go to the temple and do certain things. It's anytime. I'm right there with you. Remember, he sent you the Holy Spirit. So he's right there. You can pray all the time. That's why he says to pray continually. Wow, amazing. So if you want to be deeply rooted in Christ, he wants you to pray. He wants you to spend time in prayer. He wants you to have this constant conversation with him throughout the day. Here's the thing. I think we all know it's important to pray, right? We all understand that. But it's in the doing. James also said, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. So how are you going to do this? Okay, what goal can you set to do this? Last week, John said, okay, here's your goal. Spend time, maybe you go through the Bible read through. Maybe just spend 5 minutes in prayer or 5 minutes in the word a day. Start somewhere, but be reading his word. I would say the same thing, right, with your goal on prayer. Our goal on prayer, what do we want to do? We want to have 5 minutes a day. Start with that goal. Pray out loud. Write it down. Whatever works for you best. Find what works for you, right? And usually what you have to do to build the habit is set the time you're going to do it, set the place maybe that you're going to pray, and how much time you want to do it. So find out all those things that helps you to remember that, oh, this is what I want to pray. And one of the first things you can pray, God, give me a desire in my heart to spend more time with you. Give me a desire in my heart to pray more. Do you think God will answer yes to that one? I'm pretty sure he will. Okay, but just continue to work on that desire to want to pray. Write it down. Say it out loud. Whatever works for you. But pray. Spend some time in prayer. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come on up. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a chance to pray even right now. Okay, so I want you to pray and just spend time with God and saying, God, I want to pray to you more in this new year. Help me to know what that looks like. Help me to have the wisdom to do it. Right? Now I'm going to be quiet for a little bit and give you your time, and then I'll close this in prayer and pray for our offering, okay?